19 minutes to the top of the hour, and Gavin Steinhobel is in the house. Gavin, always lovely to catch up.
Yeah, Dave, it's been a while since we've been on other sides of the table. Yeah. It's a joy to see you.
It has been. Thank you so much. And the world has changed, and your mate Donald is behaving very badly, I've got to tell you.
Oh, no, I'm very impressed with Donald.
You need to be in touch with him to tell him that, firstly, the language that he's started to use has been most unpresidential.
I know. And sorry, he's Dave, phoning you now. That's me, Donald's phoning, saying, just ignore Dave.
Yes, I don't know what's going on there, but it seems that the world is poised for irrevocable change. What is your take on what's been happening in Iran, and with the bluster and the threats and the acrimony and the bombings and the verbal tirades and the disgusting language from the America's commander-in-chief? What's going on?
Well, I think, you know, it's always going to be a bit of a touchy issue, because there's an underlying religious sort of theme, and then there's the fact that, you know, the Iranian state has for 47 years been quite a belligerent in the Middle East, and has sponsored terror groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, the previous Syrian regime, you know, allegedly even our local crowd, and that it was a troublemaker. And, you know, one of the things that the entire world economy relies on is energy from the Middle East, and one of the things that's in the interest of everybody is a Middle East that's not explosive. And so, you know, when you've got a regime whose absolute raison d'etre is the destruction of Israel and possibly also America, and they're on the cusp of developing nuclear weapons. I mean, if you really think about it, why would Iran enrich uranium when they are so power wealthy? You know, they've got all the oil and fuel that you could ever dream of. There's no need to go and generate electricity from nuclear. And this is quite obvious to all, but the incredibly obtuse that they were well on their way to developing a nuclear weapon now. I mean, you can see a country like North Korea that, once you establish yourself with nuclear weapons, you can do what you like and nobody's going to interfere with you. And I think the danger of the Iranians developing a nuclear weapon has been an issue that's been bothering a lot of people in the Middle East and the rest of the world for a very long time. And several U.S. presidents have tried to deal with it. They've tried to deal with it by making deals with sanctions. You know, Obama famously flew in $1.7 billion on pallets in cash to bribe them to stop the uranium development, and they continued throughout all of this. And so I believe if you listen to Witkoff and his last negotiations with the Iranians before America and Israel pulled the trigger, one of the things they did say, they said, we've got 400 and something kilograms of uranium that's up to 60% enriched, and it'll only take a matter of weeks for that to be to have basically a nuclear weapon that we could attach to a bomb and we could threaten Israel with, and we could threaten possibly Europe. And, you know, they said, well, we don't have rockets.
Why would they do that? I mean, Israel has,
you know,
undeclared, but
you know, you know, why did Hitler hate the Jews? You know, why did they hate the Jews? You know, the point of the matter is that people are ideologically entrenched, and you can see that because all of this is not in their interest, and yet they continue. And once you've got an ideology like that, and the destruction of Israel is what you want to do, then I don't believe that the world can tolerate that. And I
at the risk I at the risk of blowing up the entire planet.
Well, the risk of blowing up the entire planet, Dave, was about to happen, and it was curtailed.
But is there evidence of that? There doesn't seem to have been any evidence.
Well, they said themselves to Witkoff at negotiations. He went back and he said, listen, these guys have quite clearly stated that they are nearly there, and we can't allow them to get there.
But you know how many times the world has gone to war over alleged weapons of mass destruction?
Yes, I know, and that's you must be vigilant about that. But you know, the fact that the other Middle Eastern countries have backed the US in this means that there's more to it than meets the eye. I think that it takes a lot of courage to address these things. And, you know, we've had a long, long, both in Europe and in America, we've had a long series of very limp people in leadership that haven't been really prepared to take on the hard issues, you know, to take on the trouble in the world. And, I've always believed that when America is soft, a lot of malign actors fill the void. You know, there's a vacuum, and you have a lot of malign actors starting to act. And so we are living in a world where there has been for quite some time the two sort of modes of thought. The one is that, you know, states can be autocratic, like the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians. And the other is that states should be democratic. And I find if you really look at, for example, you know, we know that the Iranian government was just basically mowing down protesters who are very unhappy with what's happened in their country, because all the money that they've made and that should have been spent on their people has been spent on this weapons program and sponsoring terrorism all around the globe. And this is 47 years of it.
And yet they seem to have come out in huge numbers, creating human chains around installations that, yeah, that Trump threatened to blast into oblivion.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was all voluntary.
Well, we don't really know, but certainly...
So they're definitely, you know, I mean, first of all, you must bear in mind that the Iranians are Persians, and they're not Arabs, and there's actually a big cultural difference between them and the Arabs. And that they were Zoroastrians, and they weren't Muslims originally, you know, until the Ottoman Empire invaded. And so there definitely is a great section of the Iranian population that are not behind the theocratic state, that are not behind the idea of being a pariah in the world, that are not fighting a religious war. You know, that simply want to get on with life.
But isn't that like every nation? I mean, if you think about, look at the Israeli situation. There are protests all the time now in Israel to stop the warmongering
and
genocidal warmongering.
And guess what the Israelis don't do? They don't shoot their protesters. They allow them to protest. You know, that's one of the only free places in that area, and it's worth preserving. And so, you know, when America goes shoulder to shoulder with them, it's an ideological battle too. And I honestly don't understand how people can come out in defense of the RGC or the Ayatollahs or the theocratic authoritarians the weirdness to me is that the people who do it are very left leaning.
But I'm going to put it to you now. You're a man that upholds the law. I know this because we have discussed this before, that the law is there are mechanisms around, but generally the law is the law, and one needs to uphold it, because if you don't, then the rules of conduct fall apart and everything falls apart. So there's the law. There's an international law, including how one can go about fighting wars, which America has kind of trodden on all over the place, and the rest of the world is saying, you are committing war crimes. You are breaking Geneva Convention.
I think what's happened is that the law is something that gets observed if it's enforceable. All right, international law hasn't been enforceable for a very long time. That means that actors like China, you know, can have bad human rights records and still be part of the UN, or the Iranians can sponsor terrorism around the globe, and that's illegal, but don't worry, we'll carry on because don't worry about the international law. So ultimately, I think what the attitude that's been taken by certain nations is, well, if we're going to be in a fight, okay, then we're not going to fight by the Marquis de Queensborough rules while you have, you know, freedom to kick us in the groin. You know, if we're going to fight, we'll fight. And I think that has been a long time coming.
But now the consequences of that thinking and of that action has been the threat of a global economic meltdown, the proportions of which we haven't seen yet. But we were very close until 2 o'clock this morning.
I saw that. Well, Dave, I don't honestly believe. I think that the very fact that... you know, that one nation has a chokehold on and if that chokehold is gotten rid of, I think things will open up a lot. I think fuel will be very cheap. And so the idea is actually to bring all of that online.
But then where to from here for Donald Trump? Because he is completely out of control.
I think he knows exactly what he's doing.
You are a great fan of his.
No. I'm not just a fan of his. But if you actually have a look at what he's achieved in a very brief period of time, with a country that nobody really wanted to go near. It was sort of like the porcupine. You know, you don't really want to go and try and bite it because you're going to walk away with a mouthful of quills. And that's exactly what we've had here. And you know, he's had the courage to do it. And they've done it extremely well. So it has been very, very one-sided and almost a complete whitewash. So with the exception of, I think, two plans that were shot down. So ultimately, I think this is the way forward. I think it sends a clear signal to countries not to be bad actors and to play the game. And Donald Trump has always been transactional. You know, those Abraham Accords were an absolute miracle. And that's what the Middle East needs, and that's what we all need. You know, we need a peaceful Middle East where everybody agrees to put away their thousand-year-old grievances and to move forward into a period of economic prosperity that's beneficial to the Middle East and beneficial to the rest of the world. Why do we need these archaic grievances? Why do we need these old sort of religious grievances? We don't need them. I mean, just get on with it. The idea...
Well, clearly, those that support them need them.
Yes, of course, because it suits them. You know, well, exactly. They all became billionaires, you know, and the same with the Hamas leadership, who were all sitting in Qatar. I mean, they weren't even in the Gaza. They were all becoming billionaires. You know, this is all manipulation, and the people on the ground are the ones that suffer. But I mean, why should Israel have neighbors that swear for its destruction? I mean, that's just, no country should have to do that. We certainly wouldn't like it. And so, you know, I think this is as much defensive as what it is offensive.
Gavin, you put your case. I am not arguing it particularly vociferously because I think otherwise we'll have to just agree to disagree.
Yeah, well, I don't mind disagreeing with anyone. I just say that to me, I see it with absolute clarity in my mind. I might be mistaken, and I'm quite prepared to be mistaken. But to me, I just think this is a good for the world, and I find it astonishing that. Anybody thinks that the Iranians developing nuclear capacity would make the world any safer. I think they're just about mad enough to push the button, you know?
Well, we can't second guess what those beyond our control are going to do in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I think they've just proven how bloody-minded they are.
We can see the immediate response and the results of just simple saber rattling in the wrong direction.
Yeah, but you're looking at it over a period of a handful of weeks, you know. This is a long game, and this will change the world, and I honestly believe for the better. And I think we're going to enter a period of global sort of peace. You know, our planet needs a sheriff, unfortunately. But it's true, because it's a chaotic and dangerous place.
If the sheriff is Donald Trump, then there is no hope.
I'd rather that the sheriff be a free and democratic country than one that wants to bend the rest of the world to its will.
Then we will not start talking about ICE, and we will not start talking about human...
I would love to talk about that, because I don't believe that you should... I believe a country should have its borders. And I can just see the absolute collapse of Europe as a result of this... Very, very, very cavalier policy of just saying all comers are welcome here.
It's a long discussion. We just don't have
We must time have for. A podcast,
But
Dave.
It will be, yes, let's do that. Long-form podcast. Watch out for this one, folks. Coming soon. And it definitely is coming soon, because our new podcast studio is almost ready to roll. And once that is, the very first podcast we produce is going to be a continuation of this
of
discussion.
Of this conversation. I like the fact that we're on opposing viewpoints as well. That's always interesting.
My special guest, Gavin Steinhobel. This will be up as a podcast so that you can share the love. And Gavin, I'll still be here in a week's time, I think. So we'll continue the conversation then.
Always enjoy chatting to you, Dave.
Likewise, and the morning show continues.